Welcome to the Get Up Power Hour. Boom, 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 bam! I'm your host, Mark Hayford, coming at you like a school of piranha, hungry and ready to feed, baby, right here on 1520 WCHE. Welcome to the Get Up Power Hour. This is the hottest new show on the airwaves, talking about mindset, attitude, positivity, everything you want that's going to help you be successful and break through to smash your goals or just take that first step getting out of bed in the morning. We are live, guys. I'm your host, Mark Hayford, but I did not come alone because I got the Get Up Army. Yo, fam, let's hear you out there. Hey, speaking of feeding and hungry, we are live at Timothy's in Lionville, right here off of Route 113. And we want to give a couple shout-outs before we go crazy here, just ripping into the rock star guest that we brought on. Want to give a big shout-out to the owner of Timothy's, who had the genius idea to put us right here in his sports bar. Put your hands together for Timothy's owner, Mr. Jeff Burns. All right. And sitting next to me is the lady who just makes me sound good. Put your hands together for the Duchess of Danger, the perennial millennial, Bree Ezro. When you got a face like this, she's got to make you sound good for radio, baby. So, hey, I'm the host, Mark Hayford. Every single Thursday from 1 to 2 p.m., we drop this like it's hot on 1520 WCHE, but we live stream it global. So I want you guys to connect with me on all of your social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, YouTube, Twitter, LinkedIn. And while you're out there, go check out markhayford.com. I say go buy one of my best-selling books, but a successful person will say both. So go get both of my books. Go get Up Encouraging You to Attack Life and 365 Days of Encouraging You to Attack Life. Basically, we want you to knock the snot out of life, baby, to wring every drop out of it, to play all out. You can DM me, PM me, email me, getup@markhayford.com. And if you love this show and you want a daily dose, what you need to do is go out to SoundCloud. That's soundcloud.com, or you can hit the app SoundCloud and listen to the Get Up podcast. Aggressively, every single day, we drop a brand new show that could be for your commute, could be when you're making breakfast, but you can listen anytime. And we have over 250, so go binge listen for your personal growth. That's what we got going on. And when we're talking about personal growth, and when we started this show, we're committed to bringing excellence, and we're committed to bringing on guests that can talk about shifting perspective, about having a great mindset, about having you just have the opportunity to understand how and break through barriers. So I want to take this second and introduce the man sitting next to me who's changing the game and who started out with success and then hit adversity and then wound up hitting the change that you have to take if you don't want to stay stagnant. So ladies and gentlemen, former Penn State alumni, former San Francisco 49er, former NFL Europe, former Dallas Cowboy, former Washington Redskin, and now analyst for CBS Sports and the obligatory PSU pregame show, put your hands together for this rock star right here, NFL alumni Brandon Noble! Woo! High five.
That's a lot.
We're blowing stuff up here.
I don't know if I can match that intensity, man.
You don't have to match it, man. You are intensity, and we're so excited to bring you out here. Thank you for taking the time, man, for coming out here and just enlightening some minds. Like I said, they live stream this thing global. Not everybody in the world cares about NFL football, but we didn't bring you here for NFL football. We brought you here for the achievements that you've created all through your life. And I just want to get into it, man. And first of all, again, thank you.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. Like I said, I know that this was a bit of a pain to put together because of my schedule. So I appreciate your flexibility and some people actually showing up out here. It's pretty cool.
Well, it's been crazy because when we do this show, you know, the show is every Thursday from 1 to 2 typically. And it's cool because we're in the studio and the guest comes in and that's where it is. Well, now We have a show. It's on the road. It's out in a public place. We got to coordinate the studio. We got to coordinate the restaurant. We got to coordinate the guests. And you're not like some dude sitting around waiting to take phone calls.
Well, I am sometimes. It just depends on.
No,
you caught
not.
Me at a rough time.
We had to reschedule this thing like 3 or 4 times.
Yes.
Because you're coming back from Vegas and everywhere else. And
Yeah. I was in Roanoke this weekend, Vegas next weekend, speaking at different events. And I've been on the road a lot.
I mean, we connected just about 48 hours ago, and you're already humping it coming up the turnpike and up 81, and you're just all over, man. What? So you're mid-40s right now.
I am, if we want to start with how old I am. Definitely.
45 mid-40s is the new 25,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's what they tell me.
So let's start off with this, where you're at right now, because, you know, I think we're both a believer in being present where your feet are at.
Yeah.
So at 45, there's people that are like, oh, I have X amount of years till I can retire. You're still getting at it. You're still reinventing yourself. What's the drive?
Yeah, well, I mean, really, it's exactly that. You know, I spent my whole life in football from the time I was 10 years old until I was really 40, 41. I was on the football field. And around 41, I decided I needed to spend more time at home, be a little bit more of a father and a husband instead of sleeping at the office coaching football. And so I literally just jumped, man. I just walked out the door and spent the last 4 years trying to figure out what in the hell I want to be when I grow up.
Well, I love that because I think if you stop growing, you start dying. And I think the comfort zone's a dangerous place. We talk about it a lot, and we're going to get into it. And I don't want to do the whole, it started out as a child.
Right.
But it
I did
started
start
out
as a child.
Child.
Yeah.
It did. Yeah, we all did. But so I think the question first that I want to start off with was, so, look, you're a former NFL player now. You played with Hall of Famers. You got your own show, but it didn't start like that. You didn't start as an NFL player.
Right.
You started out as like any of these other kids, because we got young listeners that listen to the show. We got teenagers in the audience now. So when did it start for you? When did you first start to find this love for what you created a lifestyle with in football? Like, when did it start to happen for
you?
Well,
I think for me, you know, it was the first time I got to watch it on TV, you know, which, you know, back in the early 70s, mid-70s, was 3 channels and probably 1 game. And, you know, I vividly remember watching the Packers and the Chicago Bears. We happened to live in the Chicago area for a while. And that's where I picked it up, man. And from that moment, I was kind of smitten with the idea of it. My mother did not want me to get hurt, so she didn't let me play football until I was in the 8th grade. So I played soccer and every other sport in between. And growing up from Chicago, moved back to California, where youth soccer is huge. So I spent most of my time on the field playing soccer because Mom didn't want me getting hurt.
Mom didn't want you getting hurt. And there's such a stigma on football today. You coach football. I coach football. I know we got football coaches out in the audience tonight. And, you know, I feel like the game's doing a lot to change it from a safety standpoint. Some people say too much that it's interfering with the spirit of the game. But we can get into that in a bit.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think they're doing anything wrong. Trying to make the game safer, especially at the younger levels, is a good thing. When you're getting paid for it, you know, I think it can be as violent as you can tolerate.
I'm not a fan or a proponent of having flags on the field looking like
right.
United Nations.
At the end of the day, you know, we're here in Timothy's, and I know there's a lot of Marsh Creekers and Marsh Creek Age folks there. The game at that level is safer than it's ever been.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. A lot of changes happening. So let me put the ice on football itself, and I want to put the spotlight back on you and your journey. Because, again, to me, this whole show is about, it's the Get Up Power Hour. It's an hour of mindset and attitude and tenacity and breaking through barriers. And your journey's constantly been breaking through the next barrier.
Yeah.
So you grow up watching the Bears, right?
Yeah.
You go out to Cali, you're kicking a soccer ball.
Yeah.
You're dying to play football. Mm-hmm. You finally get to put pads on. Now, we're talking, you're in high school. and this is happening, and you're kind of, you know, it's awkward for anyone when they first start to play.
Oh, yeah, and I had just moved from Southern California to Virginia Beach. So you go going into high school, moving all the way across the country, and actually football was kind of the anchor point, you know, where I was able to meet a lot of people immediately. Which was a good thing. Some of my best friends to this day are guys that I met standing in the hallway of Lynn Haven Junior High School waiting to get a physical.
And I think that's such a great lesson here, because too many times we're just kind of walking around, going through life, doing our things, and we're not really understanding the opportunities that are all around
right.
us. And that whole saying that your network is your net worth, and you recognize that as a young guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, football is a great game because it brings you together with a lot of people. A lot of people you wouldn't usually necessarily hang out with sometimes. So, you know, from that perspective, moving all the way across the country and it kind of getting a fresh start. I mean, look, going back to take a step back, and when I first started playing football, I was playing with guys that had been playing since they were 7, 8 years old. I got knocked all over the field. You know, I was one of those kids where if you understand Pop Warner or youth football, I was a 10-play kid, you know, because there were all these kids that had played so much more football than I did. So the move to Virginia Beach allowed me to kind of have a fresh slate as far as football. I could almost reinvent myself.
Yeah, sure. I mean, well, you're saying as a kid, you're getting knocked all over. Anybody out there, any of the adults, any of the teenagers ever feel like in life, you're getting knocked all over, right? So I feel like when you put yourself out there and you start getting uncomfortable and you wind up, you know, getting to this place to where you can learn how to adapt, we're bubble wrapping too many kids. The mindset is too comfortable today versus going out, getting beaten up, and learning how to make the adjustment and becoming better through it and even failing forward.
Unfortunately, you know, everything good comes from being uncomfortable usually.
Yeah.
And that's tough, you know. And I don't know that I got that initially, right? But I can look back now at 45 and say, look, the fact that I moved every 4 years as a kid was good for me, because I can sit up here in front of complete strangers and talk all day.
Yeah.
I'm not uncomfortable in new situations. You take my kids out of the Chester Springs area and you think their heads are going to pop off. You know, so
I mean, that's what it is, man. And I feel like a lot of times we feel like life is happening to us versus life is happening for us, and where we're able to make these adjustments and learn how to become better through this adversity, which I think is so important.
Adversity sucks, but it's what makes you who you are. I mean, that's when you go back and you look at my entire football career, it's put me in a position to where now, as I go through these things that I'm going through at 45, you know, I just lean back on the things that I've already been through. And it's never the easy times that get you through, right? It's the fact that, you know, I had to grind.
Yeah.
I had to, you know, I failed. I still fail, right? I fail every day. You know, and yeah, I failed. I got cut 3 times trying to get into the NFL. And, you know, I've been up and down. Everybody is. And football's a great teacher for that. And as long as you listen and you kind of, you know, learn from it.
Well, I love what you just said, that football is a great teacher as long as you're learning from it. And the whole theme that I'm hearing right here is failing forward. So we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back from this break, I want to get into how this started, when you got to Penn State, the NFL, because that's a whole nother level of crazy that nobody else in this building can compare with or understand. So I want to get into that. Get up, Army. Don't go anywhere. We will be back in 90 seconds with NFL star Brandon Noble right here on 1520 WCHE. Welcome! We're back from the Get Up Power Hour, baby. I'm your host, Mark Hayford, coming at you right here live from Timothy's, like the hot buffalo cauliflower. You want to try it. All right. Hey, check this out real quick. Just want to give a shout out to some of these awesome sponsors that back up the Get Up Power Hour. They love the message. They love the station. Hey, Rocky's Hot Sauce, Topiary 219. Of course, Timothy's in Lionville, who just jumped on as brand new sponsors of the show. Hey, Kinetic Physical Therapy, my boy Darren, Swiatek Orthodontist, and the boys on the hill, Whitford Hills Auto, Brad and Matt from Whitford Hills and Exton. You guys want to go there for your car issues. And just want to say, man, we are having an amazing interview here with former NFL player Brandon Noble. Brandon, welcome back to the program, man. And look, we did high school. We did, you bounced around. We did adversity. Yeah. Penn State football! Any Penn State football fans out there in Timothy's? One,
no.
Two, thank you. You, sir?
A couple.
Yes. All right. So let's...
It must be Notre Dame.
We are. How'd that happen, Penn State? You were bounced around. You lived in a lot of different places.
Yeah, I mean, look, it was a gut decision. Like most of the good decisions I've made, it was... I can't really put my finger on why I did it. But I was in a position coming out of high school where I had a lot of top programs in the country recruiting me, or at least in the region. And, you know, it was tough to say no to an Italian guy in a black Lincoln Town Car pulling up in front of your house. You know? So when Joe came in and said, hey, we want you to come play ball, I said, all right. You know, and it was cool. I mean, it was a great experience. One of the best decisions I've ever made.
Now, when you were playing at Penn State, especially when you were fresh, you were young, you were new, and you're kind of wide-eyed, you're coming right from high school to this transition,
mm-hmm.
Were you playing with guys that either made it into or were being prospected to go to the NFL?
Well, I was fortunate. I was at Penn State at a cool time, 1992 to 97, and I was a member of the 94 Rose Bowl team that went undefeated. So I was playing with guys like Kerry Collins and Kajana Carter, Kyle Brady. The whole offense played in the league for a long time, and it was an amazing experience. And you don't really realize it, right, when you're going through it. It's like, these are the slappies that I live with and play football with and, you know, suffer together, and they've all gone on to do pretty cool things.
Well, I guess that ties into my next question, because you just said you don't really realize when you're going through it, I guess, because of the impact. You're just playing. I mean,
yeah.
You're a Rose Bowl now. You're a kid who grew up watching the Bears.
Yes.
You weren't even allowed to play football because you're playing soccer, and now you're on a team that's at the Rose Bowl.
Yeah,
it's holidays,
very cool.
And you're what's that like? What's that big game feel like at that level?
Well, I think for me, because when we went to the Rose Bowl, I was a puppy, and I ended up, I was starting through attrition because guys had gotten hurt. So I started the last five games that year, and one of them was the Rose Bowl, and it's kind of just happens, and it happens fast. I mean, one thing, you know, like anything else, when you're kind of moving from the bottom to the top, right, you're... Things pick up, right, as you change levels. And so that was just another level where things were moving way too fast for me at the time. Now, you go into my junior, senior year, at that point I had some experience. I'd been around a little bit. I knew what was going on, and the game slowed down, which allowed me to be better. But only because I got my face kicked in for a year in 94.
Okay, so let's go there, because you just said it was moving. You know, there was a portion of that career, where it was going a little too fast for you.
Oh, yeah.
So how'd you adjust? What were some things?
Well, you just keep working, right? I mean, that's really what it boils down to, is just keep at it. And one of the things about football that's really cool is, you know, it's about being right there, right? It's that one step. It's that the placement of your hand. It's the little tiny things that you learn how to really focus on when the bigger things aren't happening, right? If you take care of the little things, the big things take care of themselves. And football is very much like that. If you find yourself not playing well, it's probably because you're just not stepping the right way.
Yeah.
Or you're not playing with paddling. Whatever it is, it's very applicable to life, right? When things are going poorly, you're probably not doing all the little things that you need to do. So, again, I just go back to that. And with experience and with failure, you get better. So that's the first game I ever started at Penn State was 1994. I lasted a quarter and a half, and I got benched, right, because I was playing so bad. And then 2 weeks later, I'm starting against Illinois and then Indiana, and then, you know, next thing I know, I'm playing in the Rose Bowl against Oregon. And look, it was just survive, you know, get through
yeah,
it.
But man, I'm hearing you, but hold on a second, because there's something more to that, because you're just kind of like, yeah, you just keep going, you just keep grinding. But that's a certain mental toughness that not everybody has. And I
right.
know the game teaches that, but what is that? Like, where does that come from? Because not everybody out here is dealing with something. Everybody's got their own stuff.
I love to play football,
yeah.
right? I mean, when you love what you do, and this is one of the things that I've had the challenge in the last 3 or 4 years is that finding something that I love to do. I was so lucky to do what I love to do forever, my whole life, from 10 to 40.
Yeah.
I loved what I did, right? And then all of a sudden I found myself out of it. So how do you keep that kind of focus to be successful when you don't necessarily love what you're doing? You know, that's a challenge. That's hard.
Yeah. And it's you said so many profound nuggets in there. One of them being
a very profound person.
Boom! Yes. There you go. One of the things that I love is the fact that, you know, you kind of said this with football. Success is not just one big thing. It's a lot of little
yeah.
things. And you can apply this to teaching kids at Pop Warner. You can apply this into business. It's fixing your feet.
Yes.
It's balancing your funds. It's putting your hand placement right. It's making the right email at the right time. I mean, this could
right.
be like, you know, this really transcends well. I still, what I'm trying to dig to, because I want to scratch in this, because you're saying it, but there's something that's going on that's to the core of that you're just able to overcome, because football is constant
well,
adversity.
Look. So when I blew my knee out in the NFL, and I'm sure at some point we'll get to that.
Oh, yeah.
And this is kind of at this point. So I tore my ACL, my MCL, my PCL, dislocated my knee.
You're an overachiever.
All right. And I woke up from that surgery, and the doctor said, I put you back together as best as I can, right? Like, structurally, you're as good as you're ever going to get. Not the way that it was, but as good as it'll be. And he said, the only thing that will keep you from playing football again is you. He goes, how hard are you willing to work, and how much pain are you willing to tolerate to get back on the football field? And at that point, I mean, honestly, I knew I would play football again, because I will outwork anyone, and I can tolerate more pain, or I used to be able to. I can't anymore. I'm pretty soft now. But I used to be able to tolerate. You know, I mean, look, I've been through it. The game makes you hard. So I was used to it. So I was okay, because at that point I learned all those things about working hard and, you know, dedication, self-sacrifice, self-motivated, all those things you have to use. I learned them from football and the people that I played for, the coaches that I played for. They instilled that in me. My parents instilled that in me. Just work. Show up. If you show up every day and go to work, good things will happen. Not always what you want, but good things will happen.
No, I love that. I love when there's a quote-unquote overnight success, and people will say, oh, that person always gets lucky. Or, yeah, I get pretty lucky, and it's usually the harder I work.
Right.
And that transcends into lucky from the outside, because they don't see the hours, they don't see in the trenches, they
right.
don't see the toiling and all
yeah.
that stuff.
I just spoke at a college all-star game this last weekend down in Virginia. And one of the things, when I wrapped my talk up, I said, look, I'm very fortunate to have done what I've done. I'm not lucky, right? I worked my tail off to get there. It's not luck. I'm fortunate. I took advantage of the opportunities. And it has nothing to do with luck.
I love that. I love that, because you are coming from a very, very elite fraternity, which is not, it's built on dreams, it's built on goals, but that's blood, sweat, tears, scratching, crawling, fighting, biting, whatever it takes to get there. So I want to go there.
Okay.
You're Penn State, you know, you're conditioned now, you're getting your head kicked in left and right, and that's that mental toughness, that's getting better. But now we get to the point, when does it start becoming apparent to you, like, wait a minute, I could be up there. I could be in the NFL. When does that light switch come on? When does that dream start becoming a reality?
Well, I think right after my junior season, so my fourth year in the program, and you go, all right, you know, I'm pretty good at this. I seem to be, you know, capable. I'd started a whole year. I'm going into my senior year with basically a year and a half of football under my belt. But that's the dream, you know. I mean, but that's where I think I started realizing maybe this could happen, and you start getting noticed and some publicity. Look, I was a projected, you know, third to fifth round draft pick. You know, one of the top players coming out in my class early in the season. So I think I kind of figured it out, you know, that after my junior year, going into my final year in State College.
So, okay, now we go back to the mental toughness. Working backwards, you were with the Washington Redskins.
Yeah.
You were with the Dallas Cowboys.
I was.
You did NFL Europe.
Yeah.
But you started with the San Francisco 49ers. We're talking the same locker room. Jerry Rice, Steve Young, Terrell Owens, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You're there. What is that? The only thing, I was in the WWE as a ref. And next thing I know is I'm with Ric Flair, John Cena, Rey Mysterio, The Undertaker.
Right.
And my mindset, you can't be fanboy. You can't be like, hey, can we get a, you know, because now you're one of them or you have to be one of them. What's that shock like? This kid who's bounced around, you come out of Penn State, you think you're ready, and now you get to that next level, that level on the big screen right there. We're talking Super Bowl coming. What happens in your mind?
Well, I was an undrafted free agent, so I did at that point, man. I didn't even think I belonged there.
Hold on,
right?
Undrafted free agent. That's fighting.
Yeah.
That's you earned every single bit get in that locker room.
Yeah, and I also got cut three times.
Cut three times.
Yeah, I mean, I got cut by the Niners twice after camp. I got cut a couple times off the practice squad. I had to go to NFL Europe twice. I mean, it was something. There was a point where I was done. I was like, look, I told my wife, Mary-Kate, I said, I'm going to give it, you know, I was going back and forth. Am I going to keep going after the Niners cut me the second time? And my dad said, look, you know, I talked to him about it, and he said, this isn't something you can go back and do when you're 35. So ride this thing out as long as you can, right? And so that's what I did. I mean, I told Mayor, I said, you know, I'm going to give it one more shot. And that third shot was with the Cowboys. But, I mean, it was overwhelming. My D-line room in, not Washington, San Fran, was Chris Dolman, Bryant Young, Kevin Green,
Hall of Famers.
Charles Haley. Right? Yeah. I mean,
Hall of Famers.
And Dana Stubblefield. I mean, guys that were all pros. I mean, it was when the Niners were kind of at their peak there in the late 90s.
Yeah.
They weren't winning Super Bowls, but it was an unbelievable football team. And you're right. They were all guys that I watched growing up. I went and saw Saving Private Ryan with Steve Young. And there were a bunch of other guys. But next thing I know, I'm in Steve Young's SUV with like 10 other dudes and we're going to see a movie on our off night, and I was like, how is this happening?
That's,
you know,
insane. When you
it is crazy.
All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to pay a couple bills, and we come back, I want to hear the adversity. I want to hear the ripped up knee. I want to hear getting cut. You almost died three times. So when we come back, we're getting into that whole bowl of hot soup, baby. Timothy's at Lionville. Get up, Power Hour Army. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on 1520 WCHE. All right. Welcome back to the Get Up, Power Hour. We're here live at Timothy's in Lionville. I'm your host, Mark Capert, and we are here on 1520 WCHE. Watchie. Every Thursday, 1 to 2, we drop it like it's hot, baby. Hey, we are talking with NFL alumni Brandon Noble, former 49er, now Super Bowl appearing 49ers, Dallas Cowboy, Washington Redskins, NFL Europe. Guy's been all over the place, and he has fought through adversity. He's the face of mental toughness, and that's why we put him on the radio, so you can't see him. But I want to get into this now, Brandon. We were just talking about, you know, what is it like? You make it and you don't make it. And you're in, and JK, and you're a 49er. No, you're not. Yeah. And you're bent. Like, what's that doing to your mindset as you constantly are having this rug pulled out from underneath you?
I mean, look, it's tough. It was really the first time that I'd ever been cut in anything.
That's crazy right there. That's
so,
that's very
you know, to go all those years and be as good as I was and then get to that point, the point that you really wanted to be at and not be able to get there, was incredibly difficult. I remember when I made the team, when I finally got to Dallas, Leon Lett had been suspended for drugs for eight games. And so they were keeping two young D tackles on the roster. And so I remember, you know, going through camp and thinking, all right, you know, I got a chance. And sitting there in the locker room, and the Redskins, the Cowboys locker room is a kind of a square. It's an old one. And I must have been, like, green. This is on final cut day, right? And so Bob Haas, who's one of the trainers, walks by, looks at me, and walks past me, comes back out, grabs me, pulls me out, and goes, hey, man, you made it, right? And, like, that moment right there, you know, basically 2 years of my life to get to that point, 3 years almost.
Wow.
And it was powerful, man. I'll never forget it. And then to play the first week, to play the whole season, and to, when Leon came back, they cut the other guy. Right? I played seven more years. He didn't play again. So, you know, that business, right, every week you don't know if you're going to have the job. And I spent 4 years like that in Dallas. Even though I started for 3 years, I was a starting defensive tackle for the Cowboys, and I was always worried about my job.
And that's the thing. I feel like so many people have to deal with that today. You're never safe. There's and you know, somebody somewhere is willing to do your job for less.
For less.
Maybe they do it better. Maybe they're willing to work harder. So, again, we keep going back to the mindset of what this is like. Like, it's never being comfortable is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Constantly. Oh, absolutely. I mean, the football's a great teacher for that, you know. And I was fortunate to be around guys that pushed me in that way. You know, and saying, look, it makes you uncomfortable. So, see, look, man, my time at Dallas was amazing. It was stressful. I didn't know if I was going to be there. But, look, man, I played a lot of football for the Cowboys. I loved living in Texas. And I really didn't want to leave. But the business side of the NFL made me make a decision where I ended up with the Washington Redskins.
One last thing before I get to a real burning question I want to ask. Your psyche, when someone's telling you at this elite level, you know what, man? Thanks for all you've done. You're not good enough. We're moving on.
Yeah.
How do you recover from that at that level on the big screen? What does that take?
I think you can't be afraid of it. You can't be afraid to fail. And I think that's maybe what helped me the first couple times with the Niners. I think I was afraid to fail, right? I was afraid to get cut. But then once it happened, they go, you know, the sun comes up and things go on. You're still disappointed. But I think I went into that last camp with the Cowboys with the idea that it doesn't matter. I'm going to leave everything out here and then see what happens. And then I can walk away. And be like, look, I put everything out there. I played as well as I could. I did everything they asked me to do. And I still wasn't good enough. I can live with that.
So you felt good knowing that you somewhat had control over you.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you have control of.
The main factor.
Yeah.
So you can go as hard as you want. If it's not good enough, you could feel good about knowing that at least you put it all in.
I told Mary Kate, I said, look, come down. I don't know if I'm going to make the team. If I make it, stay. If not, we'll get in the truck, drive back up to Pennsylvania, and start our lives.
And Mary Kate is your now wife. Was she your wife at the time, or were you dating her?
We were about to live in sin.
So, yeah, baby. So she was crazy enough to stay with you, knowing that there was such an uncertain balance to your future.
Look, I mean, look, that's kind of been our whole marriage. So,
that's
woman. She's stuck around for a long time. Yeah, we're going on 20 years now.
That's a great woman. Okay, so let's do this. We're talking about your wife who stuck around. Something she stuck around for is watching you almost die, not once, not twice, three times. Talk about it.
Yeah, so I blew my knee out, like we talked about earlier, and I went through that. I was able to come back and play football. 2004, I blew my knee out 2003. Came back, played all 16 games in 2004. And then thought I was back. You know, I was like, okay, I'm good to go. I'm going to get 10 years now. And then all of a sudden, I have a little just kind of routine scope in my right knee to get it cleaned out, some fluid. And I wake up the next morning. I've got this little hot spot that's kind of the color of your book there. And it goes from the size of a quarter to the size of a beer coaster. And then next thing I know, I'm unconscious on the sofa, and someone's driving me to the hospital. We get to the hospital. Doctor says, look, man, you're in trouble. We run some tests. You've got MRSA. If you'd waited another 12 hours, we'd probably cut your leg off or you'd be dead.
That is unbelievable. I mean, here you go from being one of the baddest dudes literally on the planet, being able to fight with giants, and now we may be cutting your leg off. You're done.
Because of something you never heard of. And it was, I was one of the first guys in the NFL to get MRSA. Not something that I'm happy about, but it happened, right? And not only that, I came back, put myself in a position to go play football again, and I ended up getting a second MRSA infection.
Whoa. You came back. Yeah. How do you come back?
You just
your leg off.
You take the medicine and get back in the weight room.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I had surgery. They cleaned me out. I spent, like 7-10 days in the hospital, sent me home with all the IVs and stuff like that, and then I started putting myself back together. I wanted to keep playing football.
That is unbelievable. So this whole time, you have to have self-doubt. You have to start feeling kind of human and mortal and susceptible to whatever, because now you're not just dealing with the guy on the other side of the trenches here. You're dealing with these super bugs. You're dealing with injuries that we don't really even understand what they are yet.
Yeah.
What's that do to your mindset?
Well, I think at this point, I'm battle tested. Right? Like, I've blown my knee out. Like, an injury that most people said I wouldn't come back and play from. And I did it. All right? So I was like, this thing isn't going to stop me. And I was on, when you're in that position, you don't realize how bad it is. Right? Like, if you were to talk to Mary Kate or my parents, they would be like, it was terrible. Right? But I was like, okay, I just got to, I've got to just keep moving forward. And that's what I've always done.
So when was the final decision when you said, okay, I've gone as far as I can go. I'm ready to do whatever it takes, but this just, I can't continue this lifestyle. I can't do this to my future wife. I don't know if I can build a future off of this. When does that point happen?
I never made that decision. That was
your wife
made for me. That's exactly right. So I had a second MRSA infection. I went in for an emergency surgery on Thursday. Mary Kate came in on Friday, had our third child. So I'm in isolation in the hospital, right? Like spacesuits, you know, everybody's got, you know, wrapped in rubber. And
you're the big boy in the bubble.
I'm the boy in the bubble. That's exactly right.
A really big bubble.
Excuse me. And she has Jackson. She leaves the hospital before I do. So now she has a four-year-old, a three-year-old, a newborn, and me.
And she just wants to hit you right in the knee.
Yeah. And so I go home with all the IVs, the whole thing again, and I end up post-surgery throwing multiple pulmonary embolisms into my lungs. I spend 2 days thinking they're back spasms and just taking Vicodins and muscle relaxers thinking that it'll go away. And then I coughed up a golf ball-sized clot, and I couldn't breathe. I couldn't stand up. Every time I would stand up, I would just sit back down. I couldn't breathe. So Mary Kay calls the Redskins, says Brandon can't come to work. And they knew if I couldn't I couldn't get to Redskin Park, something was really wrong.
You're not even making that phone call. Your
right.
wife's
yeah.
making the phone call.
So they send me to the hospital. I've got multiple embolisms. The bottom quarter of both of my lungs are dead. And I spent 10 days in the hospital. At the end of this time, they tell me, look, you're going to have to be on blood thinners for a year. Can't play football on blood thinners. But we can put screens in your arteries or veins, whatever it is that comes back up. Excuse me. And then you can play. So I was like, well, hell, I'm in the hospital. Cut me open. Right? And so Mary Kate's in the room, and she's like, Doc, he's done. And that's how I retired.
So your wife actually made the call and said, you know what, this has been great, but my husband's life is more important than the fame and the Super Bowls and the television and all that.
Yeah, and she may not think that now, but...
Now she's like, suit up, baby, rub some dirt on that. Okay, so, you know, we're up against a break in a few minutes, but before that happens, I got to know, again, this is your entire life, you're battle-tested, and now you're fighting forces that you can't really do anything about it. What's this doing to your mentality, even knowing that you're a fighter, that you're a strap yourself, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps type of guy, but you can't do it. So you're a warrior who now is on the back burner. What's that like?
It was really just, man, stay alive. Like, it got that primal. Like, it was not about football. It wasn't about money, the business, nothing. It was literally just get healthy so I can be a dad and a husband. That was it.
So when Mary Kate makes the decision, she calls the Redskins and says, we're done, you're good with it. To a degree.
I was so inside myself, just trying to survive, I didn't even think about it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, look, that was a level of pain and suffering that I wouldn't wish on many people. And so it was literally like just stay alive.
So far, what we've uncovered, your story has been lots of adversity, breaking through constantly, 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 finding that success, and then getting punched in the face with adversity like you've never seen before. And then, now we gotta figure out how to morph. And when we come back from this break, I want to find out how you shape-shifted, how you morphed, and how you continued to move forward and stay relevant in this thing that you love that you can't do anymore. So we're going to be back in about 90 seconds. Get up, Army. Timothy's in Lionville. You guys stay hype. We'll be right back here at 1520 WCHE. All right, Get Up Army, welcome back. We are live right here. Timothy's in Lionville. You are listening to the Get Up Power Hour on 1520 WCHE. I'm your host, Mark Hayford, and sitting with me right now is Brandon Noble, former San Francisco 49er, Dallas Cowboy, Washington Redskin. And Brandon, we were just talking about how not only did you have to fight to get onto a football field, you found yourself in a position where you had to fight for your life. And that's when your career ended. So today, you know, we say all these accolades that it sounds exciting and all that, but I can't imagine internally, you're a battle-tested warrior who plays football, who coaches football, and now that's gone. That's done. Forget it. You're never putting cleats on again. No more helmets, no more shoulder pads, and you got to adjust. So first of all, when you come back to health and you kind of take a breath and step back so you could see the forest from the trees, what's going through your mind first of all?
How in the hell did I end up in Chester Springs?
That all happened. I mean, yeah.
That happened while I was, like, dying. My wife picked this place to live, and yes, I don't know.
You were bubble wrapped.
I woke up,
in Chester County, Pennsylvania.
In Byer Station. Wow. There I was.
Byer Station. Well, okay, so today, when we look at just this resume you got, you're working CBS Sports, you're Sports USA Media, Blue and White Media, which is for all the Penn Staters out there, and now you have the obligatory PSU pregame show, which is a podcast and a TV show. So when we're talking about, you know, somebody who just didn't throw, because listen, again, I referenced it earlier, you know, I was in pro wrestling and I know lots of pro wrestlers, but that's done for a lot of people. Some of them are able to continue somehow in that arena of life, and others don't. They just throw the towel in, they go get a job wherever, and that's what they're doing, and that's cool, but a lot of times they're not fulfilled and they're not happy. You somehow are still staying relevant and in the game. So how did you go from, again, being the guy who's smash mouth, getting at it every weekend, every day, to now it just stops and you got to figure out a way to reinvent yourself? Were you on purpose with staying in this whole arena of work, or were you going through a cloud or what?
Yeah, I cheated a little bit. I coached college football for 8 years after I retired, which was good and bad because I stayed in a comfortable place, right? And so I didn't have to kind of go through this transition, you know, at 32, as opposed to getting out of football completely at 40. So now at 40, three kids, married, living in Chester Springs, right? What are you going to do? So I've tried a little bit of everything, man. I've been a financial advisor, sold insurance, worked in a bank, worked a couple different sales jobs. I wasn't happy doing any of it. And so finally my father-in-law was like, look, man, go back into sports. You did a lot of broadcasting when you were in the NFL. Why don't you go back the direction? And so that's kind of what I did. And I'm starting over again. And I'm starting over again 15 years out of the league, never went to a pro, never won a Super Bowl, and didn't play quarterback. Right? So those three things eliminate me from the higher echelon, potentially, of broadcasting. Right? When you look at the guys on TV, that's what they did, right? And I get that. I'm cool with that. So I'll just keep working at my craft. So I was given the advice, just like with football, do as much as you can, wherever you can. So I've spent the last 3 years kind of building this media resume, doing anything and everything I can. And, you know, from waking up on a Sunday morning, driving to Altoona to be on a Penn State TV show, and turning around and driving back for free. Right? And you do those kinds of things. It's the same thing. The doctor told me, you'll be fine as long as you work hard and you can tolerate the pain. It's the same thing here. The pain isn't physical, right? The pain is stress. The pain is failure. The pain is rejection, right? It's all those different things. So it's a different kind of pain that I've got to learn how to deal with. But that's what I'm doing now. And I've done it myself again. You know, you talked about the Blue White Media. and you know, it's a company that we started, me and some buddies, up in State College. We started doing a TV show. There's no Penn State pregame show. So let's do one.
I love that.
And we started doing it in somebody's backyard, drinking way too much beer and grilling meat and sitting around and doing it and then putting it on YouTube. YouTube, right? And so then you go, all right, the next year we end on PCN or PNC. PCN.
Whatever.
PNC's the bank. Right, yeah. Sorry. CTE.
Yeah.
Right. And it, from PCN, we take it to cable. So we go from YouTube to 50 million households.
50 million?
In 4 years. On our own, with no help. And literally messing everything up that we can. Business-wise, production-wise, like the whole thing is held together with a bottle of bourbon and a ball of yarn. Right,
so you're continuing to live this life where you fail forward.
I try to fail forward.
Yeah.
Sometimes you go back. But, you know, you just got to keep going forward. Right? And so that's what I've done. And that's what my company does. And I think it always goes back to that. You know, just look. How hard are you willing to work? And what are you willing to tolerate to get there?
Yeah.
And if you can answer those questions about the thing that you're trying to do, you'll get there. Right? If you're not willing to work and you're not willing to tolerate whatever the adversity is, you'll never get to that thing, which means it's probably not important enough for you to really do it. Right? Football was important to me. And that's why I did it. My wife and children are important to me. My happiness is important to me. Being able to support my wife and kids while being happy is important to me. So this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of these things where I love how too many people out here are playing in a competitive space. Everybody's competing out there. And I find that the people that find most success, and we're talking football, so it's all competition, you know, every day, every practice, every down. I feel like some of the most successful people don't come from a competitive place, they come from a creative place. And it sounds like you guys sat back and said, hey, we would love this, they don't have this, let's do this. Not really understand. That,
right.
That's what Sir Richard Branson talks about. He said, a successful person will say yes and then try how to figure out how to do it later. And that's
right.
Exactly what you're living.
Yeah, and I think that with the technology and the tools that people have available now, you can really do anything you want on your own.
Yeah.
And that's what we did, right? It's like, look, nobody wanted me to be on ESPN, wasn't calling me. So I said, okay, I'll make my own show.
Love it. I love it.
And then we'll see what happens. And like I said, I mean, there's days where it's a complete disaster, and then there's days where it works, but we just finished our fourth season, and we're on from Virginia to Maine in 50 million households.
We started on YouTube.
And it started on YouTube literally getting so drunk that we can't finish the show.
Rockstar!
It was fun. It was a blast. And in fact, the fact that we're on TV now kind of sucks because I can't get that drunk.
You cannot. No. You have to wait till after.
Exactly. After.
Before
that's
you
when
drive
the podcast happens.
Hours
right.
To get back to Chester Springs.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, we're going to open it up to the audience. So if anybody wants to ask a question to Brandon Noble, it could be NFL, it could be business. You can step right up to the table. Come on up. Don't be shy. We'll get you on the air. I actually have a question while we're waiting for people to line up here. So I want you to name drop. You played with Hall of Famers, baby. Have you played with Deion Sanders?
I did.
You played with Primetime.
Yeah, I mean, look, I was... I don't know if you want to call it lucky or not unlucky. When I was with the Niners and the Cowboys, they were on the back end, right?
Okay.
So made for bad football teams, but it was really cool to be in that locker room, right? To walk in, like, one of the first games that we went to in Dallas, I remember you get your seat assignment on the plane, right? And I sit down, and I'm in the same, like, Troy Aikman's my aisle mate, right? And after the game, I'm drinking beer with Troy Aikman, right? Or I'm sitting down and I'm eating lunch with Deion Sanders. You know, or Mike Irvin.
Who sits down and eats lunch with Deion Sanders?
Actually, Deion Sanders sat down to eat with me.
Hey.
Yeah. But here's the thing, right? I know we got a question here. But Deion, look, man, the prime time that you see on TV is an act. He's a great guy. He knew I was a new guy on the team. I was sitting at lunch by myself. And he just came and sat down with me and started talking to me. He didn't have to do that.
You know, it's nice when you can reach a certain level of success and you can still be authentic. Mm-hmm. That's rare. That's nice. I love it. All right. I think we have some people from the audience that want to have a question. All right. Looks like we got a middle schooler here. What's up, buddy? What's your name?
James White.
Oh, hold on. Let's get your volume up there.
James White.
All right. We got James here. So, James, what's your question for former NFL player Brandon Noble?
What's the biggest lesson you learned from football?
What's the biggest loss you ever had in football?
Man, there's a lot of them. That's a good question. One of them is don't stand too close to a speaker that's that loud. The other one is... I'm just messing with you, man. I think it's that work hard, right? Working hard and working with other people. Football is such a great game because it's one guy that has a really important role. But it doesn't matter if the other 10 guys don't do their jobs and vice versa. So the teamwork, the team building, and just at the end of the day, being mentally and physically tough, that's the most important things that you can have.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. Good job.
Great question. All right. All right, we still got a couple of minutes here if you want to jump up and ask a question to former NFL player Brandon Noble. Oh, we got a big guy here. As a matter of fact, this big guy is a former guest of the Get Up Power Hour. He is 61 years old, and he has 21-inch biceps, and he runs a physical fitness. I don't even know what it's called, but it's for all the firefighters, and he's local in Chester County. Andy Chambers, good to see you, brother. What's the question for former NFL player Brandon Noble?
How are you?
Good.
Also, Penn State University,
nice.
Class 1982. Fitness tip for us older guys. All the injuries, sports, things that happen. What are you doing now that you can help us go forward and stay fit like you were?
Fit like me. Whew, I didn't know I was fit. I appreciate that, though.
So Andy Chambers is assuming that you were once fit.
Honestly, for me, I changed it up. Right? Like, I lifted weights my whole life. And I cannot get under another squat bar. I can't get under the bench. I just mentally can't do it. So I just do different things. I go and I swing kettlebells, you know, I swing a steel mace. I've started doing hot yoga, which is not a pretty picture, but I do it. And I'll tell you what, man, I feel so much better. Hot yoga, life-changing.
I'm not going to say I haven't done it, but I'm not going to say I have. Okay. Okay. Hey, we got time for one more question if anyone from the audience wants to jump in. It's last shot to talk to NFL player Brandon Noble. I have a question. So this, what you're doing now, what's the difference for you between when you're doing television versus when you're doing radio? What do you like better, and what's the difference for you?
Well, I like radio better because you don't have to shave. You don't have to get a tie on. You know, radio is fun. TV is a different challenge, though, because you have to be really aware of everything that's going on. You know, from how you look, what you're looking at, you know, kind of your mannerisms, those kind of things. I really enjoy radio. I got to call a bunch of NFL games this year as a radio analyst. You get to paint a little bit more of a picture. You got to be a little bit more creative with your words, right? You know, when you're doing TV, you're just kind of basically following the action on the screen with everybody else. In the radio, you have to kind of tell them what's happening and paint a picture for them. It's more fun.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I love this. Except. In my head, phones. It sounds like we're live at Timothy's. So I think we said it was like watching a 1973 Kung Fu movie where it's like,
yes.
You know, that's what it sounds like, the whole show for us here. Well, I hate it. And that's not a word I use typically in my vocabulary, but I hate the fact that this hour has come to an end.
It was quick.
And we got to start wrapping this up. So I want to thank you so much for coming here and taking the time just to share mindset, share the tenacity and what it takes to get, not just to get to certain levels and to break through, but how you can stay there, maintain, excel, and then how you get to change when you do it. So thank you so much.
I appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me on. This is great. And for everybody else that's out there listening, whether you're live in Timothy's right now or you're hearing this on 1520 WCHE, I just really want to remind you guys that, listen, your current situation is not your final destination. Everybody's got to deal with adversity. And how you deal with your adversity is what ultimately is going to define you. So that's what we're doing every single week here with the Get Up Power Hour. That's what I do every single day with the Get Up Podcast. And we want to encourage you guys to keep failing forward, like Brandon Noble said. Keep fighting. Keep moving. Keep scratching, biting, crawling, whatever it takes. Anything's allowed except quitting. So Get Up Army, Timothy's in Lionville. Want to thank you guys so much for coming out tonight, supporting this show. And I am always in your corner, Mark Hayford. Thank you.
Good job, man. Good job.